Take your Bibles tonight and let's go to Psalm chapter 27, Psalm number 27, the 27th Psalm. Father, tonight as we remember what you've done for us, what Jesus did for us, we thank you, even now, we thank you. Thank you for the truths that we can learn about you and your word. And tonight, as we just focus on you, God, use them. As you know, each person here has need of them in their own way. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we'll be observing the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. It's a symbolic way of remembering what Christ did for us nearly 2,000 years ago. Outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, there's a particular place where three roads intersect in front of a cliff that resembles the face of a skull, Golgotha. Place where our Christ gave his life as the complete and full sacrifice for the world. Not just for us, but the world. And I'm reminded of how sometimes limited our love can be for the world. Certain segments of the world or of our population. Christ died for them. They are so precious to him. He died so that we could live. He rose from the dead to complete our salvation, if you will. And today, he sits at the right hand of God to guarantee that we can never lose our promised life in heaven, the hope of our salvation. It's a done deal. We can't lose it. Tonight, I'd like to read the opening of the 27th Psalm, written by David. And in it, we were given some pictures of who God is to David. He's the same Lord to you and me. So we're reading about the same God here. Look with me in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" People fear things. We were talking about fear on Wednesday nights, the emotion of fear, the sinful aspect of fear. Who should we fear? Who is there to fear when the Lord is my light and my salvation? The strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? That psalmist wrote. And let's focus on that. The Lord is my light, the psalm says there. Light is not only something to guide our path, but symbolically, since this is poetry, it's symbolic of truth. Jesus said, "Men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil," in John chapter 3. Now, we have to think back in time, okay, to a time in society thousands of years before electric lights, if we can even imagine that. The daylight is when you did most of your living, in daylight. You worked in the daylight. You worshiped in daylight. When it was dark, you went home and went to bed. The rising of the sun meant a new day of being able to do, a new day from God with new mercies. Lamentations 3, verse 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They, his mercies, are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." That's our God. That's the God that we come in here every week to worship. To a traveler, if you were a traveler in those days, you didn't have headlights on your donkey. You didn't have a flashlight. You didn't have the fancy headband with an LED light lighting the way. You didn't have lanterns. Light meant that you could continue your journey. To a farmer, light meant you could plant or harvest or work in your fields. It meant growth for the crops. You need that light. The Lord is my light, the psalmist wrote. He is my truth. He's my guide, the one who allows me, in fact, the one who equips me, us, to grow spiritually and in every other way. That's our God. The Lord is my salvation, the psalmist wrote. Now, everyone struggles with sin, don't they? Everyone. Everyone needs forgiveness. And everyone gets forgiveness from God. But when the Lord is in your heart, as I trust he is in ours, as believers, you need look no further for forgiveness. He is our salvation. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's what this tonight commemorates, prompts us to go back and remember. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for our sins. What else do we need to do? Whole denominations are way off on this point. But even some within the Baptist church, Jesus paid it all. And sometimes we think there's a special hoop we got to jump through in a certain way in order to get that forgiveness. No. Jesus said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all it is. Believe that Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for our sins. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. Every one of us needs that forgiveness. And salvation, it comes from the root word meaning to save. That's what Jesus did, saved. But from what do we need to be saved? Sin, right? It's penalty, hell, separation from God. The Lord is the one who delivers us from all of that. Just as God gave judges and deliverers to the Israelites in the Old Testament to rescue them from the enemy, I'm thinking of like Samson, who came through and rescued them, Elijah, who came through and rescued. God delivers us from the ultimate enemy of death. That's what Jesus did, our deliverer. On the cross. And so the Lord delivers me from fearing the enemy as well. Let's go back to Psalm 27. Here's what David wrote, verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. I'm reminded, and I keep mentioning this book. I might just buy a bunch of copies and you can reimburse me for them, of these Muslim women that accepted Christ in Lebanon, in Syria, the refugee camps, and in Mecca. And there's no fear of impending disaster. There's no fear of war rising against them. They will be confident. They could have written this song from real life experience. For us, it's just poetry. For them, it's real. David knew what it was to be hunted okay? Hunted by those that hated him. We have no concept of that. These handful of women that you would read about in this book, they know what that is. Hunted by their own family members. One lady describes how she had to have help escaping from an airport from her brother who was sent to kill her for having become a Christian. They know what it's like to be hunted. David was being hunted by King Saul. He was hunted by the Philistines. But imagine this. God took away all of his fears. Not the hunting. He was still hunted. But God took away the fears. God took away his fears, and his faith grew stronger in the Lord. The hunting didn't stop. The circumstances didn't stop. His rights were still being violated in his country, you might say. There was still a king, someone in politics who didn't like him and was out to get him, literally. None of that stopped. But his fears were gone. And what did he write in verse 3? In this will I be confident. A lack of fear means that we're confident. God took away his fears. His faith grew stronger in the Lord. Folks, we have got to know God. We have got to know God more and more as our society here in America, as we think, we can sometimes be so clueless as to the condition of spirituality around the world. We think America is it. We are so blessed here, spiritually speaking, and it's crumbling. And we have got to know God more, because as it continues to crumble, more and more Christians are going to melt with fear if they don't know God. And as the psalmist wrote, in this will I be confident. God wants to deliver you from your fears, whatever those may be. Health fears, financial fears, fears of impending disaster coming upon you and your family, fear of what this world is coming to. It's not good, right? We would agree with that. But can I throw this out there? What this world is coming to, the world's already there. America is just kind of slowly catching up to it, okay? We're behind the times a little bit on that. As we continue on, the Lord is the focus of my worship. Let's look and see what the psalmist wrote in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Okay, that will I seek. The word seek means to beg and plead. That's what I'm going to beg for and plead for, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, Old Testament worship, that's where God was, the temple. That's where they would go to worship God. If you're in the temple, you're not there for a potluck. You're there to worship God. The house of God is what it would also be called. Sometimes our churches are called houses of God. It's where we come, should be where we come to worship. How can we see that today? Let me back up there. His one desire, okay? He pleaded and had this begging desire. Let me worship. I just want to worship God. Hunting is still going on. The fear is gone. He's confident, and he just wants to focus on God when everything else is a mess. His focus wasn't on, well, you know, he was anointed to be king. He wasn't the king yet, so that was his place. And he wasn't focused on trying to get his place as king, because he was anointed already to be king. He wasn't working this way to ease things for him. He wasn't trying to get Saul proven that he was wrong. He was just trusting God. And he just wanted to focus on God. How do we see that today when we come to the house of God? How can we worship God? That was David's desire. We can worship God in God's house, in God's word, because that's where we find God. In God's word. That needs to be part of worship, is God's word. In the presence of God's spirit, that unexplainable force. I hesitate trying to explain the Holy Spirit, okay? It's like explain God, you know. The Holy Spirit is God. I've heard it so many times from saved people and even lost people that have come into this church. There's something different here. That's what I hear. There's something different here. I've heard them say, you can just sense it. You can just feel it. It might be something as simple as someone saying hi to them. Or people, not just ladies, but people volunteering to meet a need that someone has. Call it a peace or a calmness, friendliness is what I've heard it called here. Others just say, you know, I just feel better when I've been to your church. How is this possible? I think it happens when our focus is on God in our worship. We don't have to manufacture a fake emotion or feeling for people when they come in. If we just focus and worship God during our worship, God's Spirit works in this room. The Lord can be the focus of our worship, okay? But the Lord can deliver you from time of trouble. Look at verse 5 with me of Psalm 27. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And he shall set me up upon a rock. There's three different pictures that he gives there for delivering us from the time of troubles. How? Well, let's notice the pictures. It says, God will hide me in his pavilion. Okay. No matter how big the storms in my life are, or your life, no matter how difficult the circumstances, no matter how unpleasant they are, or how scary they are, or how much pain and grief they cause you, God's pavilion is so big. And he sets me right down in the center of it. It's an interesting thing about a pavilion. We have one. Do you know what's different about that and the church building? There's no walls. And he sets us right in the middle of the pavilion. And we can see the storm around us. But I am safe in the middle of his pavilion where he sets me. God places me, that verse 5, it says he places me in the secret of his tabernacle. The tabernacle, that's where God visibly manifested his presence to Israel. The Shekinah glory was revealed so that the high priest could actually see the cloud, the glory of the Lord. God places me there, okay? And it says that God shall set me upon a rock. I just love the picture of a rock describing God. It is solid. There's confidence there. God places us on a rock. Now, we might think of Alcatraz. He places us on a rock, not as punishment, but as safety. I have this picture in my office, large picture of a rock rising up out of the water. The waves are crashing into it. And I don't remember if it's this psalm or one similar to that, about us being on the rock. And all the waves and everything in the waves that we can't see is all around the rock. That's where our safety is. And you know, sometimes we like to crawl off the rock, don't we? And kind of get into it a little bit. Just stay on the rock. God is our rock. Stay focused and centered on the rock where he puts us. Jesus is our rock. Because God is so good, we are to trust him and obey him and love him and serve him and know him. It's all about God. So how do you do this? When everything in your life is as it is in your life right now, however that may be, how do you trust him, obey him, love him, serve him, know him, not be afraid, have peace and confidence? How do you do that with what's going on in your life right now? Psalm 27 gives us that answer. Here's instructions from God through that psalmist. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. We do those two things. Here's what he says happens next. He shall strengthen thine heart. And then he ends it with, wait, I say, on the Lord. That's our God, folks. That's our God that provided Jesus, our rock, our salvation. And that's what we commemorate tonight. I would invite you to bow your heads, please, at this time. I'm going to ask my deacons if they would come and prepare for the Lord's table. But let me ask you to examine yourself. Is there fear? Instead of just doing a widespread examination of any sin in your life, we've looked at fear here in this psalm, uncertainty. Would you examine your heart as the organist plays? Confess that fear.